shearing sheds. They're often a tin shed in the middle of nowhere, and they have a distinct smell. It's a mix of sheep poo, dust, sweat and grease. So you wouldn't really think of shearing as a romantic lifestyle. But RN Life Matters producer Leith Alexander grew up in and around shearing sheds and has worked as a rouseabout on and off her whole life. Leith uncovers the secret love lives of shearers and rouseabouts and proves shearing sheds are full of action in more ways than one.
My parents lived in a small town in WA. They knew each other for years, but it wasn't until they were working in a shearing shed together that they started dating. Meet Kim and Don.
Don was a shearer and I was rouseabouting, so I was working in the same shed as him.
I was a farmer and shearing part-time.
He invited me over for dinner one night.
Romantic dinner. Chops, peas, eggs. And then I took her out to feed the cows before dinner. She had to help me feed the cows.
Did you like that, Mum?
Oh yeah, I loved it. He never used to lose his temper or anything with the sheep, so I thought, well, you know, if he's good with sheep, he must be a nice person.
She wasn't a bad rouseabout.
Is that an attractive quality?
Well, I thought if she was, she could rouseabout.
She'd be a good worker.
She'd be a good worker, yeah. So she'd be all right.
And when you're in the shearing shed, the bond you form with your workmates is one of a kind.
Been with each other all day, and then after work you have a few drinks, and we got too hot, we used to knock off and go for a swim in the dam.
We'd go in the nutty.
Oh, we would not.
Well, it's a very physical job. It's more like a sport. Everyone's mixing with each other doing their job.
Yeah, it's a physical atmosphere. You know, sweating and the big muscles and seeing the men pull the sheep out.
Music going all the time. AGs, the Beatles, Elvis, the Rolling Stones.
And today, the atmosphere inside the shed's pretty intense. Music is pumping, the energy's high. Everyone's working their absolute hardest and fastest. Sometimes shed staff go on camp out, which is when they stay at a property, living and working together for weeks on end. The conditions are tough and isolated, and there's a saying that what happens at camp out stays at camp out. But I was able to get a bit of an idea of what goes on.
And what about camp outs? You guys ever do that?
Oh, I did it for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's where the beard hopping starts.
It's the best part of the shearing industry, yeah?
No.
You know where the girls' rooms are? Get drunk and end up in the wrong bed.
And it's this bed hopping that's created a culture of fierce jealousy in the sheds. But we'll get to that later. For now, let's meet some people who met their partners through shearing. How'd you guys meet?
Pretty much in the sheds.
One contractor had a end of the year cutout party. That's pretty much how we met.
We pretty much worked together since we've been together, pretty much.
Until you fell pregnant.
So I had a baby.
Your partner.
She's a rousey. So I had some holes in my clothes and I asked, did she want to fix them for us? She goes, all right. Yeah, I can do that.
Why did you ask her to fix the holes in your clothes? She might know how to do it. I wanted to go out with her, basically. Oh, okay. So asking her to fix her clothes is more of a, like, do you want to hang out sometime?
Yeah, basically. When I went that Thursday night, I took the clothes around and, for tea at the same time. No, she never did fix them, actually. We joke around about that before.
But she cooked you dinner.
Yeah, she cooked me dinner. That was the main thing. Yeah, she's a good cook.
Yeah, what would you like to know, mate?
Single or?
No, I've got a wife, two kids, six grandkids. She came to the shearing shed where I was shearing. I eyed her up and I said, hello. I winked at her. And so that was it. And we've been 44 years. Still trying to make a quid shearing. I just love it. And it's all the good people you meet.
Hey, so tell me about your ex-partner.
I was young. She was a rouseabout. How did it start? Well,
I was the only one in the shearing quarters that had a TV. I also had a toaster too that she wanted to borrow, so.
So did you meet your partner in the shed?
Yep. It was more of a, you know, one night stand that turned into a relationship.
How long have you been working shearing sheds?
Since 1993, however long that is. My other partner I met in the shed as well, yeah. He was a shearer.
And so then you met this one in the shed too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're on a camp out job and she actually was with my cousin. And she had nowhere to stay because she was from out of town, so I offered her a room at my house.
Instead of sleeping by herself, you slept with him?
Yes, there was a little bit of courting. Got me drunk.
Yeah. I said to him, I'm going to Tassie, are you coming or staying?
And I said, I'm coming. So we started in Tassie.
Shearing?
Yeah, and then went right across southern, central Australia.
And we've been together ever since. And he's just a beautiful man.
So when you're living the shearing life, or even just living in the country, there might be only one pub in town. So what do people do for their dates?
We used to have lots of gravel pit parties. Well, you just go up to gravel pits and have a few beers and...
have a fire and sit around drinking.
Nice restaurant in town, maybe.
How many restaurants are there in town?
Three.
Can you remember some of your initial dates?
Not really. Going out for dinner to the pub. That'd be about... yeah.
I've been shearing for about 9 years. It might take them pig hunting or roo shooting or... to the pub.
Going around together, going around the farm. I've shown her different spots around the farm.
We did a lot of camp outs, so a lot of it was camp out. Yeah, sitting around a fire, just having a few drinks, talking to people. And...
so it was never like an official let's go on a date or anything like that?
No, not really.
Come around my place tomorrow, we'll be having a campfire, having a hangi. Actually, if she's single.
Are you single?
First date?
Oh, yeah, down the pub. No, just a few beers. No big dramas.
I know a lot of people see shearers in a pub or whatever, you know, and the shearers always laughing or fighting or something always happening around shearers. Some people are envious and some people say, oh, keep away from them, they're too rough.
How does that go, working together all day?
Love it.
She's a good worker. It's always good when you've got good staff to keep the wool away and everything. And
is that a turn-on for you, someone who's a good worker?
Yes, because they've got a bit of oomph about them.
But not all couples work together. Having your partner in the shed can sometimes be too much. Eddie's a shearing contractor. He runs multiple shearing teams in WA's Great Southern.
I have a love of sheep and really have a passion for good wool. Running several shearing teams as a contractor works in your favour. You're able to mix and match and move people around. They can have a romance, but sometimes it can become too intense. I'm not sure how I would cope if I just had one team.
I met my partner in the shearing shed 7 years ago. Yeah, she was a rouseabout. We sort of stopped working together, I suppose. You think you spend too much time together, you know? Couples sort of don't really work together too much, I don't suppose.
I've worked with a few couples, but normally they fight and stuff, so I think it's better that couples don't work together in the shearing shed.
It's a bit of a bonus that we don't work together because, you know, we're not working, living, sleeping, eating together. You know, you can come home after work and talk about how your day's gone. And well, for me and my partner, it seems to work.
Learn a lot about each other.
Even though you get sick of each other.
Most mothers to their daughters never marry a shearer because they're either too tired, too drunk, or too far away.
Sometimes she did think, well, I wish they hadn't married me. Oh, don't put that down. It's not the easy street. Shearing away and getting home a bit half cut sometimes, you know, from a cutout, 3 hours of the morning.
Are any of your children in the shearing industry?
No, bloody hell, I told them, get an education.
Jealousy is a big issue in some shearing sheds. As a woman working in the sheds, I often feel tension from the other women, almost a rivalry.
It's terrible, it's rife, it's shocking. I work in a team in Broken Hill up in New South Wales and there was two girls there and for 2 weeks they never called me by my name because they were just so, don't you come near my man, don't you come. I don't want to have anything to do with the man, you know, I was doing my job.
I'm a Rousey Shidhan. I've had to watch what I say around partners and stuff. I just don't want to talk to their partners too much or be too friendly with their partners in front of them.
I've seen things go pretty close to a boiling point. That's when I make changes to move someone to another team. Otherwise, I know it would lead to trouble.
I was working with a world champion, Rousabout, and she got quite, I'd say it was jealous of the wool classer, and ended up punched her in the face. My dad, who was the contractor at the time, had to intervene and pull them apart.
It's just a big insecurity. I think it's really hard because when you're a female in a gang of males, you've got to have a good rapport with everyone. You can't just have it with whoever you're working with. You know, some people can think a little bit differently of that, and I think that's where the jealousy thing starts.
Jealous or not, everyone I spoke to identified as straight. I tried my best to find some queer-identifying shed workers, but it was hard. People either said they didn't know anyone, or maybe they did know someone, but they were over east or in another country. I put posts out on Facebook and Instagram and got country folk to share them. I spoke to people at country pubs, and I even signed up on Tinder, but still no luck. I eventually got in touch with a shearing contractor who said she had two female shearers working for her who were both openly gay, but they didn't want to talk with me. On a positive note, everyone I spoke to agreed that gay staff would be welcome in the shearing shed.
There's no real rules here. As long as you're here to work and have a good time.
Hard work, hard life. Drink hard, play hard.
You can make some pretty good friends. Like, yeah, there's people that I've met in the shearing industry that I'll have friends for life sort of thing, and I'll be able to catch up in 10 years, 20 years time and still have a beer and catch up together, which will be good.
It's a hotbed of tension out on the boards. Love in the shearing shed. Thanks to Leith Alexander for that story. Well, how slowly do you take your food? Slow food has been an international movement for many years now, but it's taking on a new lease of life as consumers embrace true paddock to plate. From on-farm butchers to bespoke online shops connecting farmers and consumers, it's big business, but it's also a personal passion for many. Internationally, slow food is a movement that involves millions of people from 160 countries who want what they eat to be good, clean and fair. Now six Queensland producers and chefs are being flown to Italy for the biggest slow food event in the world. Our reporter Jennifer Nichols joined one of those excited delegates, Melinda Murnane, who raises pigs near Gympie.
You see them up here like this and it just makes you smile because they're happy. We're looking after the environment, we're looking after the animal, and in the long run, we're producing a product that is of premium quality and that tastes like pork used to taste.
Times are tough for Australian pig farmers. Pork prices have plummeted due to oversupply.
It's heart-wrenching to see that, you know, so many good farmers are having to leave the industry because they have no other option.
Free-range pork costs more to produce and competes with cheaper alternatives. Roedevale Pork's grown by selling a paddock-to-plate experience, diversifying with sheep and beef, and connecting with customers through social media. To supplement sales to butchers and independent supermarkets, the family's invested in an on-farm boning room and now cuts, smokes, packs and delivers ethically produced meat to local chefs and home cooks who value low food miles and their free-range philosophy. And now, all their hard work's been recognised in a wonderful way.
Amazing.
Melinda Murnane is one of six local producers and chefs being flown to Italy by the members of Slow Food Noosa. Terra Madre Salon del Gusto in Turin gives a voice to small-scale farmers, fishers and food artisans who value sustainability and agrobiodiversity. There'll be kilometres of food stalls and 5,000 delegates sharing stories of their successes and challenges. The event's a celebration of the slow food movement that originated in Italy in the late 1980s. More than 200 members of Slow Food Noosa help raise the funds for this incredible adventure.
I haven't even been interstate in my life, let alone overseas. So this is mind-blowing, Jen. It's incredible. I am so looking forward to just sucking up every little piece of that experience.
Karen Jarling's eager to discuss regenerative agriculture with the Terra Madre audience. It's what she and her husband Warren McEwen and sons Hamish and Jonty are doing on the family farm they've bought at Glastonbury.
Most of your sweet grasses grow in gullies, so if a cow is free-ranging, it will hammer the gullies, causing more erosion.
Trees will help slow down flood water. Stock numbers are being kept low to rebuild pasture diversity. They're carting water and moving electric fences to keep cattle grazing on fresh, unsoiled pasture.
To a lot of people, it would be madness what we're doing here. But we know that managed grazing will make a big difference to how our little farm goes forward.
Business is personal for this family, which delivers chemical-free grass-fed beef and meat chickens direct to online customers.
Okay, that's fresh ground. They trust us to feed them and to put food into their families, and that's a very intimate, I mean, apart from quite sitting at the table, we're there, you know, it's a very intimate thing to do for people.
The Terra Madre delegates are part of the International Snail of Approval program that Slow Food Noosa introduced to Australia. Zeb Gilbert's the only bloke amongst the delegates. The talented chef works for the Wasabi Group. This two-hatted restaurant prides itself on tastes created by growing food on its own farm and sourcing fresh local fish, meat and produce.
And that's how we try to tell our story through the cooking school and also through the restaurant, where food comes from and the difference it makes.
The tour inbound chefs are working on a plate to showcase Australia to the world.
Karen and I, my lovely wife and I, we came here to retire and we thought, oh, we'll join a few organisations, and we joined Slow Food. We've become as passionate as they are. They're all small producers, you know, they're not going to be millionaires or anything, but they just love what they do. And for us to be able to support them in a way that is able to help them and promote their business is just such a great thing to do.
And that's Rod Lees from Slow Food Noosa, one of the delegates heading to Italy for that international gathering, and Jennifer Nichols with the story. That's the program for this week. Thanks to Carrie Dell for technical production. Don't forget, you can listen to us anytime. Find us at the ABC Listen app or wherever you download your podcasts. More great listening ahead. Stick around, won't you, on RN.